This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Jake and Amir, please dry my tears. My dime of a girlfriend cheated on me. I cheated first, but it hurts worse when I think about how she said he was bigger than me.
Ouch.
I'm feeling blue. What should I do? What would you do if I were you? What would you do?
Beautiful, beautiful, a classic acoustic jam.
That was J.D. Zike.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you. Try to...
The Zike was Reich.
Zike is in the house.
How do you think he spells Zike?
Z-E-I-K.
That's Reich.
Yeah.
It's absolutely Kreich.
That's good.
Attaches my attempt at a Jake and Amir theme song. Nothing else. No other info. No plugs. No good
no
luck.
Plugs.
No
just
congrats.
A
just
best
a fucking
Zike.
Hashtag Zike.
Zike wins.
You wouldn't think this guy's name was Zike because the jam was very cool and
J.D.
like
Zike. Zike is a cool name. You don't think that's a cool name?
Yeah, it's like Mike, but even harder and cooler because there's a Z in there.
Yeah. Zike.
Zeke meets Mike. And JD stands for Jike Dyke. I shouldn't have said the obviously it's not what I meant. The middle word is offensive, basically. Yeah. But it's not like
I knew what you were going to say. As soon as you said Jike, you knew what was coming. And you powered through. You could have bailed out. You didn't have to do that. It feels like it landed as soon as you said it into the mic.
Nice. It's actually not even Zike. I just backed into it.
Really?
Trying
yeah.
to sneak in
you just knew
word.
You wanted to say that.
Yeah. No, it is J.D. Zike. I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Yeah, don't be sorry for the J.D. Zike. That part was normal.
Now I feel like he has to apologize.
We're both cancelable for that.
I swear he has to issue a fucking mea culpa because his name is so fucking messed up. All right, thank you. Thank you, J.D. And thank you to you guys for watching. We're back. We're back in the lab/studio, sitting across from each other. Joshing around, you can listen to it, of course, as
yeah,
you normally
but you can watch it.
I mean, watch it.
Watch it. Yeah.
Watch it.
Watch it. Why wouldn't you watch it?
You might as well watch it.
Yeah.
Watch it.
Watch it.
You went surfing this morning?
Yeah.
So you're in LA. You're embracing the surfer hashtag California lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me put those two things together.
My cowabunga hang ten attitude, aloha style. Yeah.
And how did it compare? You've never been surfing in LA. You tried it in Mexico, learned how to surf, and then you've been doing it on the East Coast.
Yep.
So how did the LA surf style line up with your value system as a hashtag cowabunga surfer boy?
So I thought it was pretty tubular.
Really?
Ultimately tubular.
Damn.
Though I did get absolutely wrecked.
Okay.
Destroyed.
Interesting.
Yeah. I have...
I don't. You can see... Yeah, some sort of board hickey, they call
like
it.
Like a laceration on my neck.
Yeah.
My feet are cut up.
Uh-huh.
The board leapt from the water, hit me in the ear once.
The ear.
Yeah, the ear.
That's going to happen, yeah.
I was fighting for my life to just get out past the break, continually getting washed basically back to shore. But then once I was out there, the waves were also too big for me to surf and I'd have to bail out and kind of ride in like a boogie board.
I see.
So on the, but the interesting thing about surfing was as brutally as I got my ass kicked, mm-hmm. I still loved it. I had a great time and I wouldn't change a thing. Except I do wish I stood up a few more times.
How many times did you stand?
2.5 or maybe 1.5. Maybe like 1 full time and then 2 half times.
So is it all to get up that one time or is it like I love the process of going early and being there and putting
yeah,
on
I
the
love
wetsuit.
Every, I love
so
everything.
The journey is
yeah,
joyful.
I love everything around it.
So
I love
you don't have to stand up really.
No, I mean, I think for me, I want to have at least like 1 or 2 good rides where it feels like I went out there and did everything for a purpose and I didn't leave as a failure.
Yeah.
But today I said to myself as I was leaving, I said the ocean won today.
Oh, that's good.
So,
but even just being able to say that is cool and
yeah.
and to mean it.
And I think like the real good surfers, they have a reverence, a respect for the ocean. Granted, they're surfing like real waves and I'm sort of just battling Santa Monica.
Yeah.
But like that attitude that they have, I adopted it today.
I see.
So in New York where I surf, there's like 2 jetties. And it kind of creates this like, there's just a part of the ocean where the waves don't break. So even as violent as the waves can get, you can always go close to the jetty and just paddle out.
So you mean by break, like there's the hump part of the wave, but it doesn't actually become the white
water. Yeah, it doesn't curl, it doesn't crash.
Yeah.
Today there was like no rhyme or reason. It was just all open ocean and the waves were like crashing in different directions. So you couldn't really predict where anything was going to come. You'd like paddle out to try to surf something, mm-hmm. but then there'd be no waves. And then all of a sudden from your left, something would just curl on top of you. And then you'd be like washed in and something's coming from the right.
So, and then how far are you from like being able to stand up? Like, can you just always stand up and walk onto the beach if you're scared/tired?
Yeah, if you're scared/tired, you would just turn your board around like a boogie board and just ride it into the sand. That would be easy.
Okay.
The hard part is trying to get out because you can get caught in that white water where all of the waves are breaking,
right.
And you're just kind of like getting pushed back to shore. Then you're fighting to get out past that, but you keep on getting pushed. So like a lot of today was just me battling the white water to get out past the break.
Right.
Then I would fall off a wave and be caught in the white water for 10 minutes. Try to get past it again, mm-hmm. fall off.
Right.
So yeah, hurt the ear, hurt the neck, hurt the foot.
But ultimately, you like that.
Every second of it.
That's interesting. Because what you're describing would be one of my worst nightmares, which is like waking up really early, getting thrown into a cold ocean, and just sort of battling and getting hurt.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally tubular, man. Mahalo.
All right. Let's try to at least answer some questions now that we're here.
Yeah.
You're not in LA often. We have to sort of soak it in.
That's right.
I found some questions while you were straight up shredding the gnar.
Yeah. While I was hanging 10.
Yeah.
While I was cowabunging and wiping out. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
Actually, one of them is sort of computer related. So the complete opposite of surfing. We'll call this guy fucking Bill Gates.
Nice. Not Duke Hanamoku?
Who's that?
Forget it.
You just swore at me in Polynesian. Since the pandemic started, like many people, I switched jobs, and now for the first time in my life, my whole job is online. I've never used the computer for more than an hour or two at a time before. I've always had jobs like waiting tables or being customer service. I didn't have to be in front of the computer at all. In fact, in these jobs, I would ignore my phone for hours, and it made me a better employee because I was not distracted or on my phone. Now, it's the opposite. And if I'm on my laptop, an iPad, and a phone at the same time, I'm killing it. This is a huge shock to me. I know both of you had full careers where most of it is online, from Jake and Amir videos to Jake's mom's cookies to the Orion dating app. Do you have any tips for us noobs? How do you not get tired of staring at a screen? Do you remember the first time you worked at a website, and how did you adjust to this?
Hmm.
Do you have any special ergonomic keyboards and stuff like that? Any tips would be super helpful. Ta-da.
Interesting.
Bill Gates.
I'm curious. I feel like you're better at screens than I am. I don't like it. I try to avoid it.
But interesting, yeah.
You have to. It's a necessary evil to me. But you,
I don't even remember the world where before I had a job that required me to stare. Like, it doesn't even, like, ring any alarm bells for me if I'm staring at a screen for hours at a time.
Yeah.
This right, is
we used
normal.
To have, like, even, I feel like it used to be a little, like, College Humor, we used to have brainstorms where we had desktop computers. We would have brainstorms where we all went into a room and talked. And
right,
we had
or
notebooks.
Wrote stuff on a board.
Yeah. And there were like little pads and we would pitch our ideas.
Right.
And I feel like even then there wasn't like necessarily lots of like phones out. We weren't like scrolling through Instagram while we were doing that.
It was just like pre-smartphone.
Yeah.
So you weren't constantly distracted by the phone in your pocket.
Yeah.
That's true. And then even before that was like at college, there wasn't even Wi-Fi, so I couldn't even like take my computer to class and use the internet when I wasn't just plugged into a wall.
Yeah.
But this is like since in the last 20 years, mm-hmm. I've basically been in front of screens the entire time. I haven't had a job that required me to not look at a screen or anything like that.
And so you don't get any screen burnout. You like it.
Yeah. Well, I don't say like I love it or I dislike it. It's just part of my job. It's just like just this is what it is. It doesn't hurt my
eyes. Would
you
ever get an Apple Watch?
No. I think that's a one step too far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because then it's literally on your wrist.
Yeah. It's there all the time.
That's why when you put your phone away, which is very rare anyway, now it's like vibrating. You can see. Boom.
Yeah.
Boom.
Constantly looking. Yeah. Constantly looking.
Glasses are probably next.
Yeah. God.
Fucking screens right in front of your eyes.
Yeah. Move I think I'm probably, right I'm closer to like getting rid of all of my devices than getting an iWatch.
Well, you had that friend that had the tiny phone that like didn't have any apps on it or
the
something.
The Light phone, I think it's called. Yeah. Yeah. I'm still thinking about that thing.
It's been 9 years, but I really think I can have it. Well, I mean, what would be the hardest adjustment for you is not using what? Email?
Yeah, I guess email and Slack.
You're not using social media.
I guess if I looked at like my app usage, the thing I use the most is just like my Chrome app, just like looking
internet.
Stuff up. Yeah, I like to look things up.
Yeah,
that's
what about
really
maps? Cool. You're using Waze.
In New York, a little less so. You know, I look at a map to see like where something I need to go is, but once I like know which trains to take or what streets, I'm not like walking down the street looking at the map. You know?
Because it's like a grid, so it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I haven't lived in New York in 10 years, but I feel like I can get, if you tell me any address to another address, I could probably
the Hoyt-Schermerhorn.
Hoyt-Schermerhorn?
Hoyt-Schermerhorn. Hoyt-Schermerhorn. Train station.
Is that the fucking six?
To Ridgewood.
Where is that? I didn't know about a Ridgewood.
Okay, let's keep it all in Manhattan.
No, I'm getting, like, hives.
Yeah. Let's do Chambers Street.
There's a Chambers? Do like numbers.
Fine.
Fucking Third.
What subway's on Third?
I don't know about a subway.
Okay. Let's just get you from First and First, where you used to live.
First and First.
To 125th.
I don't know.
I'm not even giving you a fucking avenue.
You get out. You make a right. All right? You make another right. You're on... What are you on at that point?
You say. You make a right, so you're walking down First Street towards what?
Ninth.
Yeah, technically.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's other ones before that.
I'm fucking scared, man. I'm going to get mugged. See, I told you I don't need a fucking Waze.
Yeah. No, you're good. You're absolutely good.
I prefer, we're talking ergonomic keyboards. I never had one of those, like the split keyboard where you're like, doing all that stuff.
I think what I prefer versus like a dedicated like setup is I like having my MacBook Air, which I can just like work out on my desk. And if I'm feeling like, you know, I need a change of scenery, I need to like relax, I can just lie down on the couch. I can go sit in another chair. I can go to the dining room. I can go to the kitchen counter.
These are all the places you can bring your computer.
Yeah. And that, right. So it's not like necessarily an ergonomic setup, but it's like I can adjust my body because my laptop is light enough and it'll just follow me wherever I need to go.
I feel like so often I'm like on my computer for an hour or two. I'm like, all right, let me take a break, slam my computer, take my phone out. Like, let me just use this tiny computer now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need a little recharge.
The use is a little
right
different.
Now.
I feel like when my computer is open, I'm like planning shit or writing emails. And then when I'm on my phone, I'm kind of just like clearing out responses, cleaning things up, you know,
batting away emails, responsibilities.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, phone is cleanup.
And computer is work time.
That's the dirty work.
You have an iPad in addition, in between?
Technically, I do have an iPad, but I'm a little bit afraid of it. I don't think I need a third device.
Right. What do you use the medium one for?
Yeah. My plan was to, it's at the office in New York, and I was going to use that as my computer there. But so far, I haven't had the gall, the huevos. I can't do it.
You need the keyboard, and then you have the thing, and then you have the cover, and at that point,
it's like, it's heavier than my freaking Mac
Air.
Yeah, it really is.
But I guess it's nice you could touch the screen.
That's nice.
My one tip for this guy is something I've gotten in the pandemic, which is a standing desk. It helps my back / posture not to be hunched over, because oftentimes I would hunch. Mm-hmm. I don't like to hunch. It hurts for a long period of time. So if I'm standing and working, at the very least, I feel like I'm exerting some level of energy and effort.
Yeah. And my tip is a second charger.
Two chargers.
You're
going to need this.
That's a luxury.
Charger. Are you kidding me? Yeah. One at work, one at home. You don't have to carry it.
Oh, yeah.
You ever get like a really good charger where you're like, wow, this is working fast?
No.
Or a bad charger where you're like, what the fuck is going on? It's been like 2 hours. And
I've never really noticed.
It's all about the size of that like square that it's fucking charged.
That's right.
All right, let's take a break. Thank some spons. Come back and answer more Qs on the other side of these M's.
Nice.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp, you just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to BetterHelp, help.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, help.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. And we are back. Jake, do you have any?
Oh, it's a little sooner than five.
Yes, I do. If you live in Ireland or the UK, you can actually come to a NADPOD show. this week, when this episode comes out,
this is launching on May 9th. We're going to post this online.
Cool. So May 9th is the day that I fly to Dublin. Okay. Our show is May 11th.
5/11.
Yeah.
Or in London / 11, England. 11/5.
Yeah.
Because they're so fucking...
They're so ass backwards. It doesn't make sense. And I'll be talking about that a lot on stage. Mm. So if you want to come and defend your country...
Is Dublin the first show?
Dublin. Yeah. Dublin, London, Manchester, Edinburgh.
Wow, the big four.
Yeah, can't wait. It's going to be fun. And tickets are available at nadpod.com/live.
And in terms of Hugo being there, do you see a world where, because I still haven't heard anything, so I'd have to like figure out the whole passport situation.
It would be a surprise to everyone, including Murph.
Right.
If Hugo showed up on the day. Does Hugo have a passport?
Hugo is off the grid, unfortunately.
I could see Hugo coming to our show in Edinburgh for sure.
Really?
Yeah, I would love that.
I didn't prepare anything. Put my affairs in order, if that's the key.
You're not allowed in Scotland, are you?
No, because I have the DUI thing and then the import-export sort of black mark.
Is there a country that you can go to?
I can go to Norway. I have asylum there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me and Julian Assange.
Nice.
We were extradited together. He was a famous whistleblower, and I just accidentally sold pills to the wrong person. But we were both on an airplane together.
You and Assange.
Yes, me and Julian.
Yeah.
Yeah,
me and Julian. You're on a first name basis with him. Nice.
For him, like, I'm Amir to him, and for him, to me, is Julian. To you, you call him Assange and me Blumenfeld.
Yeah, I think he's a bad guy.
Really?
I think he's a bad guy.
You would say that because you don't know the real Julian.
I don't know enough, but I think he's bad.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Actually, is Julian here?
Oh.
I sent him a Zoom link.
He's dialing in from Guantanamo.
He's in prison. Okay, here's a question about listening to other people's dreams.
I already am bored by the question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this person has the same situation. It's a lady.
Yeah.
We'll call her, famous dream analyst. Sally Freud.
Perfect.
Sigmund's alter ego.
Love it.
How do I get my boyfriend to stop telling me about his dreams? I'm not talking about his hopes and aspirations. I'm talking about the vivid hallucinations that fill one's head while sleeping. My boyfriend of nearly 8 years is a nice guy, but when he starts to describe his strange dreams to me, I want to kill myself at a Starbucks. God. Why is listening to someone trying to confusedly recall the insignificant details of a fleeting dream the most excruciating thing? As a listener, it's hard for me to follow along dreams because they're not even linear and they do not adhere to a traditional storytelling structure.
Yeah,
so there's no beginning, middle, and end. How do I tell him that his dream recounting is very uninteresting to me?
The thing is, if you've been dating him for 8 years, I feel like if you say it now, it's not just like, oh, your dreams aren't interesting to me. It's like, well, what have the last 8 years been?
That's right.
I've been doing this for a long time.
Actually, I usually don't remember my dreams.
Yeah,
last night.
Oh, God.
You'll never believe this.
I was in my house, but it wasn't my house. And my uncle was there.
It was actually... A giant beast approached me.
It's funny because dreams are insanely interesting in theory.
When they're happening.
Yeah. But like, who gives a shit?
Because they don't mean anything.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing to sink your teeth into.
Yeah. So maybe all you can do is try to care so much about his dreams that it kind of exhausts him.
Oh, interesting.
So he tells you your dreams. What do you think that means? Oh, you must be stressed out at work. Oh, maybe you have to talk through that with your boss.
Yeah.
You know, and you start kind of like giving
a calendar.
Giving advice based on that. It's like, oh, no, I thought it was just interesting. Like,
yes.
Oh, maybe you should do this. You should do this. So start giving dream-based advice.
Interesting. Or you can do the same thing to him. You start like, I also have a dream and this is what happened in my dream.
Right. Yeah. See if you could bore him worse.
Right, exactly.
Give him a taste of his own medicine.
That's right. Except at a certain point, what if he's like, into it? And then it's like, all right, let's go to fucking dream camp.
Yeah.
Let's get like lucid dreaming.
What if you were just like he's like, oh, like he starts telling you about the dream and you're like, oh, no, I know. Yeah. No, I had the same dream. It's crazy.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Same thing happened to me.
So,
and then you change the subject. Yeah, there you go.
So he's sort of convinced you're like a Freddy Krueger type.
Yeah, like a little psychic type thing.
Yeah.
A nymph, as it were.
We're at a place where we can have shared dream experiences at this point. Why are we like trying to put people on Mars? Like, I want to be able to dream the same as you. That should be doable at this point, right?
I don't need to live in outer space. I want to be in your head when you sleep.
I want to have a shared subconscious.
That's kind of what VR is.
Yeah, that's right. But VR, but asleep. Yeah. So.
Yeah. You would, I don't know. Even that sounds boring to me.
Really? Shared dreams sounds exciting to me because then we both fall asleep. God, we wake up.
Yeah, but I'm so tired from the day. You know, I don't want to hang out with more people. I see you all day on Zoom. Mm-hmm. We are in constant communication. And then at night, you and I hang out and just sort of
I just like, yeah, just like, oh,
God damn it.
Hey, this is crazy. Pick up a gun. It's a carrot.
Yeah,
or some
it's a
shit.
Carrot, right? Yeah.
Anyway, in my dream last night, there was this giant fucking animal. And I said, how is this animal scary or dangerous? And then the guy's like, no, it's okay. It's
Who's half, the guy?
Well, I'm just a fucking animal expert in my dream.
Yeah, so you barely remember.
He said, it's half turtle, half man. They were genetically altered.
So it was a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle that you had a dream.
Yes, but it didn't look like that.
Was the expert Splinter?
No, it was a different rat.
You could also just be like, oh, I have to tell you about my dream and then just like make it really sexual.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So it's like
with him or just
someone else. Yeah, your ex. Mm. Yeah, so I was like getting railed by my ex. You remember?
Yeah, Travis.
Travis, yeah. So he was railing.
What else happened?
That was it.
Because in your dream, you could do anything you want.
I'm going to go back to bed. It was a lucid dream. And I did exactly what I wanted.
It was actually a daydream. I was lost in thought. You can get those headbands that make you lucid dream. Have you seen those?
No, but I only lucid dream anyway.
Yo, you can control your dreams?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's the only kind of dream I have, which is why I only have sex dreams.
That's really cool.
It's absolutely epic.
That's awesome. So all your dreams are you just having sex with people?
I've never had a dry night's sleep.
A dry dream or a dry... So you'll always sort of wake up and, yeah. That's
what I was... Surf's up, cowabunga.
That's what I was worried about.
Yeah.
All right, here's another one. She wants me to slap.
Okay.
I'm writing to you. We'll call this person Will Smith. Remember the Oscars?
Yeah, that was
keep
good.
My wife's name out your mouth. I don't want to swear, but.
Right. You don't want to swear. You said a really derogatory name for a lesbian.
I'm writing to you with a conundrum. I'm a 30-year-old guy from the UK who's in a long-term relationship with a girl who I love. Everything's great. With the cheese being seized, she wants me to hit/be overly rough with her. Now, I'm all for some sexy rough play and the like, but I don't feel too comfortable with Chris Browning, the love of my life.
Jesus Christ.
That's what he said.
I know.
I want to make sure she's having a good time and feeling, well, chine, but I'm worried that there will be a fine line between sexy good time slaps and show me on the mannequin where he hit you slaps. So how do I approach this without going to prison?
I mean, I think no one's going to kink shame anybody here, okay? This is not my cup of tea. I don't like the
it's
rough
disgusting.
Stuff.
It's perverted.
To me, there should be no pain involved in sex at all. I like a nice little cozy sex. That's the vibe.
You don't like any of the hurting parts.
No, I don't like that. A pinching, a biting, a slapping, a choking. That's not for me. Mm-hmm. But if that is your thing... Go with God. Awesome. I think the way to find the line is to have good communication with your partner.
Get
if
it
they're
writing,
saying, I want you to slap
get
me.
Get it in writing, a contract.
Doesn't have to be. I mean, there are things like the safe word. Yeah. Contract is good. A prenup.
That way it's all signed.
Yeah.
An affidavit.
An affidavit and an NDA.
Sorry, you legally can't say or do anything. Also, you give me explicit written consent.
I think you say, I want to make you happy. I'm worried about going too far. So help me find where the line is. And also, you don't have to push it right up to the line. You can find out where the line is and stay 10 feet back.
Yeah.
That is okay.
I feel like hickeys are the most PG version of this, where you can sort of leave your mark. And it does hurt a little bit. And then it's like, that's like the pre-sex version of pain in romantic situations. Mm-hmm. It all starts with the hickey.
Yeah. You do a lot of the hot wax stuff, right?
I'll do candle and I'll have a French press near the bed. And it's never used on purpose, but if it should spill on me and I'm like, ah, that's fine.
You just like getting burned.
I like putting a little thumbtack in the bed, and every once in a while I'll get pricked. But I never want it to be on purpose.
Yeah, I think it's just about communication. It's just about communication. As long as you're having fun too.
But what if the other person's like, I want you to hit me so hard that I'm bleeding, or I'm hitting so hard that like I have a mark.
Well, then like bad. Then you found the line, because I don't want to do that. You know, that's I'm not going to bruise anybody.
Yeah.
You know,
but then what if they slap you and go, hit me, you little pussy. And they're like punching you.
Then they should not be writing into our podcast. Mm, okay. I think talk to a counselor at that point.
Yeah, I can see that.
For sure.
I can see that for sure.
For sure.
So, yeah. How do I approach this without going to prison? You want to make clear the rules before heading in there.
Safe
and
words.
You can also say, as much as you like it, I actually dislike it.
Right.
Hence, it's not worth it to keep going.
Yeah, but then you find that middle ground. So it's like, I like rough. It's like, I actually don't, but I'll be a little rough because that's what you like. But mm-hmm. that's not going to be like my cup of tea.
Right.
So then, you know, that person's not necessarily expecting like the full rough housing. And then you could also have an open relationship. Those work out great.
Openness and like you can do this with me or with somebody else. And
it's like, I don't like rough stuff, but if you need to get slapped, go get it, girl.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Imagine being that supportive of a lover.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
Like, I can't give that to you, but I want you to have that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So it's like, go at it. Go with God.
Go with God.
And not even in a lucid dream style.
Go to God. Go see God. Go find God.
Yeah. And I'll be here waiting for you because I want to be here with open arms when you return from your lover's embrace.
That's cool. I will ice your wounds.
She has a hickey. That's so cool because I wasn't willing to give that to you. So who did? I want to shake the man's hand that sucked on your neck. Put her there, brother. Thank you so much for hurting my wife in the way that she needed that I wasn't able to provide.
He gives you a hickey too.
Oh!
Oh, you're rough.
My God, I can see why you like her.
Enough horsing around.
All right. Another break, but we got some real juicy ones on the other side.
On the other side, hard.
None of this fucking slapping thing.
Yeah.
We really get into it.
All right, good. Good, good.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we have returned.
Yes.
How's this for a question? Did I accidentally get a sugar daddy?
Whoa. Love that.
Accidentally.
Love it so far. Accidental sugar daddy. Okay.
A 23-year-old female living in California recently made an online friend who lives out of state and is seemingly very, very well off, as he's offered to take me on trips, buy me things before, and I've always said no because I don't know him too well and I don't want to take advantage of him and his wealth. So the problem is, my newly bought car just broke down and I need to buy a new one, but I don't have the money right now as I just bought the other one. He's offering to buy me a new car and I could really use the help, but I just don't know what to do. He says he doesn't have any ulterior motives, but I can't imagine someone would just gift someone a new car without wanting something in return. Am I overthinking this? Should I just take the free car and be grateful, or decline and be carless but keep my dignity? Help.
Very interesting. I will say two things. He definitely wants something in return, obviously.
He's not just giving up the car for
It's not
no
just
reason.
Goodwill. There are plenty of like charitable organizations that he could give to.
Yeah. Like 1-877 cars for kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Donate your car today. Yeah.
1-877 cars for kids.
Yeah.
K-A-R-S cars for kids. 1-877 cars for kids. Donate your car today. Yeah.
You should donate your car. You should donate your new car to kids with a K.
It's a lease. I can't do that. It's a lease.
Buy out the lease. Donate your car today.
Today? I can't do it today. I'm not even. My car is in a fucking long term parking at JFK. I can't do it today.
Donate your car today.
I can't do it today. I have to get it. I'd have to buy out the lease.
Buy out the lease today.
I have to buy out the lease.
And then when you land, donate it to
donate
kids.
Donate to cars for kids?
It's what, a 2019?
It's 2020. It's a 2020 Toyota 4Runner. And I can't just give that. What would I drive?
You would get a Civic or a Prius C.
I need my car.
You'll have a car. You'll lease to own an Audi.
I used to lease to own an Audi.
My dad used to lease to own an Audi. Yeah.
Oh my God. That's why my dad once had an Audi.
Yeah, he owned an Audi. He leased an Audi.
So this is what I was saying. There are strings attached, but you don't have to honor them. This isn't like a legal trade. Mm. I think if you would theoretically not even be taking advantage because he says he has no ulterior motives, and he'll buy you the car, and then he'll say, you should come visit me for a weekend. I'll fly you out. And you'll say, I don't want to, or I can't, or whatever. And he'll keep on asking. And then you'll say no. And then eventually he'll be like, I bought you a car. You should really come thank me in person.
I see.
And then the shoe will drop.
Here's the problem with the car thing is that they have to have so much info.
Yeah.
You can't just, I don't think you can just give someone a car. It's like, mm-hmm. you have to register the car. And
you
then
should just ask them for the down payment, you know?
Venmo me $21,000 and I'll buy the car.
Definitely just take cash. Don't put the lease in.
Cashier's check?
Yeah.
Sent to a P.O. box.
There you go.
And then I'll take the money and I'll get myself a car. Thank you.
Yeah. Cashier's check sent to a P.O. box is better. You don't even want to give them your like routing number. Let's not do an ACH transfer or anything.
That's
like
too much
that.
Information.
No. Maybe Zelle. Yeah. Zelle actually could work. But he might have a limit. But, you know, if he's rich, maybe he doesn't.
Well, that's the nice thing about crypto. It's completely anonymous. Mm-hmm. You can send someone a few BTC. Ask for a Bitcoin. Yeah.
I would say you don't have a sugar daddy yet until you've actually accepted the cash and gifts.
Well, she said she's already sort of gotten some stuff from him, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, this is a weird...
Oh, sorry, he's offered to take me on trips and buy me things, but I've said no.
It's weird. I don't... I'm so far removed from this world. I have no idea how... On one hand, it seems kind of fucking, like, dangerous to be indebted to somebody who's, like, giving you cash, then you become dependent on him, whatever. But then, on the other hand, it is free stuff, and if you have the willpower and you can, deny his other advances.
Yeah.
Maybe it's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know.
My one fear is that when the housing and cars, it's all just like they need to know everything about you.
Right.
And he'll have to know everything.
Yeah. I guess the risk is becoming too dependent. If he's like, oh, I'll get you a car, but he's just making your car payments every month.
Yeah, that's
then you
weird.
Really need him, and that seems a little muddy.
Yeah, whoever like take walks into gifts. A car take dealership the... and is like, here's a check for $41,000.
Yeah.
Give me a full car, and I don't have to pay anything ever again. That's not quite how it works.
I think it's fucking scary.
Although this question is kind of weird too. My newly bought car just broke down, and I need to buy a new one. What could that possibly be?
Newly bought doesn't necessarily signal new car.
So she bought a used car.
She might have bought a used car.
And they're like, the engine is dead.
Crapped out. And
you
that's,
have to buy a new one.
The car is totaled. It'll cost more money to fix it than you paid for it. There's
just
no
broke
reason.
Down. Not broke even down. Like broke. Not even like I wrapped it around
that'll
a tree.
Happen. You know? Not yeah. That'll happen. Something goes wrong.
Dead with, car.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she needs to buy a completely new one from scratch.
Yeah.
What if he's buying like a shitty old used car? Like, I'll just fucking send you a Toyota Corolla 1992. Mm-hmm.
I have an extra car. I'll put it on a truck bed, send it down to California.
But he's still got to register it and all this stuff.
It seems bizarre.
He'll have access.
Yeah.
He'll have access to your records, to your accounts. You have to go to the DMV, get a new license plate.
Yeah. I mean, he might be nice. He might be nice too.
Yeah, but that's unfortunate. Yeah. It must suck to be a really rich older guy who actually does want to give people gifts, because everyone thinks you have ulterior motives.
He has ulterior motives, but he might also be like, I like want to hook up with this person, but I'm a nice guy and I'm just going to try to do it through gifting and giving rather than anything else. And that might be it. But I feel like we as men have such a bad reputation that I would say still stay away.
Right.
You basically have to avoid the nice guys as well, just to really steer clear of the bad ones.
Yeah, it's like if you see some guy who's like really like creepy looking and he lives in his mom's basement, but he's just a nice guy. Like that guy has a bad rap because like you always hear about the creepy guy that lives in the mom's basement that's like building a fucking bomb down
basically
there.
Everything a guy does is creepy until it's not.
So like, we're guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah. You say, oh, like, I'll buy you that. It's seemingly innocuous and nice, but it's like, but then what's your expectation? And what happens when you don't get what you expect and what you want? Then you get angry, right?
Right, yeah. It's not worth the stress.
It's not worth the risk.
What if she says, give a car to somebody else?
Mm.
That person will then give me the car.
Right. Oh, give a car to my dad.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's awesome. Let me put you in touch with my dad and you can explain to him.
He'll have to go to the DMV with you and you'll have to change your registration and title.
By the way, you guys are the same age. You should play golf together.
But you'd have to pay for the round because, you know, you're his sugar dad. You're my sugar grandfather, technically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
A sugar granddaddy. That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
That's actually, it's brilliant.
Sugar Granddaddy is probably a good domain name for our next Squarespace ad.
Yeah, it's also a good name for a show, a thing that we're pitching, like a TV show. It's like, you all know about Sugar Daddies, right?
Yeah,
Sugar Granddaddy.
This is like, yeah.
If you want to get with me, you got to give my dad a car. Sort of a
sequel. The pilot just wrote itself.
There's no second episode, unfortunately.
Right.
But
well, it won't go to
sense.
Air.
Okay, one last question.
Yeah.
Lot of options here. Lot of options.
Okay.
Do you want to do... All right. Here's sort of a quick and easy one.
All right.
To preface this, I'm stoned out of my mind, nice. Writes, we'll call this lady Stony. But what's the harm in asking you guys this whirlwind of a question rather than my therapist? I broke up with my fiance 6 months ago and recently started thinking I might be a lesbian. I've always known I'm bi, and I've wondered if I've preferred men over women. Recently, I've been noticing more women than men, and this has gotten me confused. The only experience I've had with a girl was negative. She strung me along for 4 years. I was deeply in love with her, and she always implied that she'd sleep with me one day, but it never happened. She told me she couldn't be with someone else who wasn't a lesbian and left me.
Hmm.
The question is, should I start experimenting with other women so close after a breakup with my fiance? I mean, we were together for 5 years and planned a wedding together. I feel like if he found out, he would be hurt because I don't think he's over me yet, but I'm 1,000% over him. I'm also a little nervous because I feel like I'd be losing my virginity again, even though I'm in my late 20s now. Wow. I mean, this lady's high.
Yeah.
But is she bi?
I mean, definitely bi, right?
Because she was sexually attracted / engaged to a guy, but also attracted to and with a woman before.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a sliding scale, you know?
Yeah, nobody's fully straight or fully gay. You're probably somewhere along this like spectrum, as they say.
Yeah. And I also think you can go through like phases with it too.
Yeah.
So you're into women right now? I think see it through. If your only concern is the guy's feelings, then you've already done the hardest thing, which is call off the wedding and break up, and you're 1,000% over him.
Yeah.
So it is definitely time to stop letting the way he feels guide any decisions in your life.
Yeah.
You've gone through the hardest part. You don't have to like share with him anything else.
Yeah.
You guys are broken up. So
I would also personally, if somebody broke up with me, I would be less offended if they ended up with another woman versus another dude.
Yeah, because that was something you couldn't necessarily provide.
That's right.
It's like, what do I have that she doesn't? Oh.
A feminine energy.
Yeah.
And emotional intelligence. I get it.
Yeah,
I absolutely get it.
She's emotionally available to you.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Not me. Mm-hmm. So specifically, am I a lesbian? Who knows? Who are we to define it?
Yeah. But there's only one way to find out. And it sounds like your bad experience with a woman before shouldn't necessarily color the entire thing moving forward. It's time, you know, you're in your late 20s and you are talking about losing your virginity all over again, yeah, as you say. But what better time than now?
Yeah, late 20s is not that old.
Yeah. You also don't have to dive right into losing your virginity and having sex with women all the time. Just like go on a few dates with somebody, you know, and see if it feels good.
Baby steps.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. That's it. That's our show. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here with us. You can watch these episodes now on our YouTube, If I Were You Show, on YouTube.
Yeah.
We're also still making videos on our Patreon.
Damn right.
Patreon.com/JA.
Ja.
We're also making this podcast every week. So
there's
going to be enough for you. Yeah. Don't be like offended if an episode is a little short.
Right.
Because then this is like episode 540 or something.
Yeah.
It's like there's other shit you can watch. Right.
I don't think anybody complains about the length or the amount of ads or anything.
Really?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I haven't looked at the comments or anything, but I think we're good there.
So you're not looking at the comments?
No.
Okay. But you're sure what they say?
Yeah. I'm sure what they say.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we're good.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
God bless you, man.
That opening and closing theme song was written by J.D.
Zyke.
Let's hear the Zykestra piece again. That's a Zyke masterpiece.
Right.
Thanks for you guys listening. We will be back next week. Zyke.
Zyke out.
Take an Amir, please dry my tears. My dime of a girlfriend cheated on me. I cheated first, but it hurts worse when I think about how she said he was bigger than me. I'm feeling blue. What should I do? What would you do if I were
in the zone?
How long was I gone?
You're rolling.
What would you do? What would you do if I were you?
Zyke! We are Zyke!
That was a HeadGum Original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Leitman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will. Can you do that? So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.